Now, you can't command the happiness, but there's a way that you can come by happiness. Possibility number one, and the only one I'll discuss tonight, as to why many Christians are not happy and will never be happy and cannot be happy, is because they fail to deal with the problem of guilt. Because they fail to deal with the problem of guilt. I want to begin by giving to you three scriptures which we'll look up. Proverbs 13:15 is our first one. Proverbs 13:15, the last part of the verse. The way of transgressors is hard. The way of guilty sinners is hard. The way of breaking the law of God is hard. It's hard on you. Now that's the first verse I want to give us tonight. It's a very true proverb from a man that was given God's wisdom for people. The way of a transgressor is hard. Now the second verse is found in Psalms 51, our second portion of Scripture, because we're going to deal with more than one verse here. The words that you have here in Psalms were written by David, by a man who was known to be a man after God's heart, a man who walked with the Lord until he saw a woman on a rooftop. And David committed adultery in his heart. And then David sought a way to get that married woman to be his wife, and he sent her husband on the battlefields, the front line, knowing full well that he'd probably be killed, which he was. David got what he thought would make him happy, but the way of transgressors is hard. After the sin had been committed and the guilt was in David's life, I want you to listen to the boy talk to you. I want you to hear the confession of a man who could not deal with the problem of guilt. Psalms 51, verse 9 through 12. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. He was depressed. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy spirit from me. Now notice verse 12. And give me back the joy of my salvation. The way of transgressors is hard. And uphold me with thy free spirit. And then one more verse is in the book of Romans, the 14th chapter and the last part of the verse. Romans 14th chapter and the last part of verse 22. Happy is the man that does not condemn himself in those things which he does, or those things which he allows. Happy is the man that does not condemn himself. All of these deal with the question of guilt. Now before we begin tonight, I want to try to clear up something with you. If a person can openly lie and not feel guilty. If a person can openly steal and not feel guilty. If a person can hate and not feel guilty. If a person can curse and not feel guilty. If a person can quit church and not feel guilty. If a person can neglect Bible study and prayer and not feel guilty, then I feel you have every right to question that person's salvation. I would doubt if that person is legitimately a Christian. Because you see, a Christian is born with Christ's nature, which means that nature does not want to sin, which means that that nature has an inborn love for the law of God, which means that within that nature dwells God Himself in the Holy Spirit, and that word holy implies making us very sensitive in our conscience to what is right and what is wrong, what is the will of God and the way of God. With that type of equipment within our newborn spirit, you will feel guilty when you sin and do things you know to be out of the will of God. Now, when a Christian does knowingly sin, either by act or word or deed, either omission or commission, either by neglect or by laziness, or by deliberate doing, his born-again heart, within his new spirit, that part of that spirit called the conscience, will be so sensitive that it will condemn his action. The result being guilt. We will feel guilty. We will feel uneasy. Now we can do one of two things. We can immediately confess it and find pardon, or we can seek to hide it and forget it, thus being able to repeat it time and time again. But if you decide to bury it in what is called the subconscious mind, and you try to forget it, then you're going to pay a dear price. You will create deep mental scars. You will also produce in your life painful thoughts. This is what the Bible talks about when it says the way of the transgressor will be hard. That is, it'll be hard to tolerate and hard to bear. Now, while the guilt has been buried in your subconscious and has been forgotten by you while you go about your daily business, it has not been forgotten by your conscience. It has not been forgotten by the Holy Spirit. It has not been forgotten by your spirit. Now, these thoughts between the conscience and the subconscious, you don't really know are going on. They just sort of take place in secret. But your conscience, being of what nature it is, becomes an inner judge. And your conscience will draw up its game plan to deal with your guilt. Now, folks, what I'm telling you can be borne out by the Bible and by any psychiatrist. Anybody tell you it's true. Your conscience draws up a game plan which it does not announce to you while you type on the typewriter and drive down the road, but it's dreaming up a game plan to deal with your guilt. Now, the conscience gives a clear-cut command when you first feel guilt, and that is either you confess or you must be punished. Either you confess or you must be punished. Then the conscience will set the kind of punishment that you must feel and bear if you don't confess. And the conscience is not going to tell you this, but it sets it. It becomes a judge and the jury. Now, consciously, man does not realize all this inner conflict is going on in his life. He's buried the sin, he's forgotten about it, he's gotten away with it, and everything is going rosy, so he thinks. But it's not. Now, the inner judge reasons that guilt is too painful for the conscience to bear. We have hurt our conscience. We have wounded our conscience. And we have made this inner mechanism, this inner voice, miserable. And this inner conscience said, unless guilt can be gotten rid of, I am in a continual miserable state. And I know that sin can only be gotten rid of by confession or by making the person suffer to pay for the crime. Now, I want to stop here and I want to ask you some questions. You don't have to answer me. Do you like the kind of person who tells you lies all the time? Do you like that kind of person? Just a habitual liar. Do you like that kind of person? Or do you like the kind of person who is lazy? Every time you look around, they're not doing their work. It doesn't do what they're told to do. Do you like a person that's just naturally a goofball? Do you like a person who is rude, always hurting your feelings, always sarcastic, always catty? Do you like a person like that? Do you like to be around a person of that nature? Do you like a person who's selfish? Do you like a person who is dishonest? You turn your back, they might steal your clothes. Do you like a person that would steal things from the office? Do you like a person who's a hypocrite? They'll tell you one thing and do another. Do you like a person like that? Now, probably all of you answer, well, of course not. I don't like people like that. I try to avoid people like that. I want to ask you one more question. What if that person happens to be you? Now, what are you going to do? Then you say, well, I don't like myself. You're right. I'm ashamed of myself. I don't want to be around a person like I am. It's what many call a poor self-image. It's a bad self-image. Let us say you accidentally back into a car at the supermarket. Nobody's looking, and you look back, and it's about $100 damage. You jump in your car and zoom out of the parking lot, and you chuckle, man, I got away with that. Don't have to pay the repair bill. Everything's fine. And he asked you something, do you like a person that would do like that? If somebody backed into your car and sped off and you saw them through the grocery store window, would you like a person like that? Oh, no. Oh, you'd get hopping mad. That's so-and-so, I tell you, if I ever caught him, what if that person's you? Huh? And there's a part of you that says, why, you sorry old thing. Yeah, you got away with it. You're going to pay a higher bill than you would for a dented fender. I'll see to that. I can't stand to live around a person that's as dishonest and as mean and as dirty and low down as I saw you just be. And your conscience begins to say, well, I'm going to fix you, fella. I'm going to dream up a punishment that's due a guy just like you. And brother, that conscience is talking to you. And so the conscience says, I will set the punishment for a guy like you. How does the conscience punish you? The most common punishment that the conscience comes up with is what is known as depression. Depression. You will feel sorry. You'll feel good for nothing. You'll be miserable. You'll be unhappy. You'll be filled with fear and filled with worry. You'll have emotional distress. You'll have mental anguish. And you could become a mental nervous wreck. And the conscience will not take the pressure off, but will put it on. And you'll ask the question, why can't I be happy? Because you're guilty. That's why. You're guilty of a known sin which you have buried and thought you had gotten away with, and the conscience says, I'll punish you till the day you die, till the day you confess. Brethren, that's a sad state for a man to find himself in. As your guilt begins to build in quantity, then that pain of depression, the conscience says, we're just going to pass it on to your body. And that's what we call psychosomatic illnesses, ulcers, high blood pressure, hypertension, the heart attacks. There's no telling what physical ailments are caused because the conscience says, I'm punishing a man with guilt. How can you be happy when you got ulcers? How can you be happy when your head's hurting all the time? How can you be happy when you got all sorts of ailments taking place? You can't be happy because, you see, the conscience says, you don't deserve to be happy. I'm going to see that you're miserable. Mentally, and then physically. Brethren, the doctors will tell you the office is full of them. And what's wrong with them? You say, well, there's something up here wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them, really. Yes, there is. They've never learned to handle their guilt. Not only is that a punishment, but the old conscience says, I'm going to make you accident prone. I'll fix you. You like to bend fenders? I like to bend fingers. And some people are accident prone. What are they doing? Subconsciously, the conscience says, I want to punish you right here. You ever seen somebody take their fist and beat the wall and, why do they do that? Oh, they're mad. Yeah, that's right. But the conscience is punishing them for their anger, and their anger is destroying them. And can that person be happy? Of course not. They can't be happy. It makes you accident prone. It also makes you trouble prone. Everywhere some folks go, they invite trouble. They stir up trouble. They make trouble. They make their life a continual mess. They make their life a continual nightmare. Everywhere they go, they stir up people, and those people stir them up, and they come out pulling their hair. I'm going crazy. What's wrong with all these people? And the old conscience said, I'm punishing you, old boy. But I'm making you make them mad at you, which will make you mad at them. I'm keeping you in a continual state of turmoil. You thought you'd be happy when you sinned, but I'm going to make you pay for your sin. You're guilty and you'll be punished by me. And there's not a thing you can do about it. Now, brethren, that takes place in our lives. It also makes you bad judgment prone. Have you ever made any real bad deals and then got through and said, man, how stupid can I get? That was the biggest mistake I ever made. More? Yeah, you didn't just make a blunder, fella. Your conscience has led you to punish yourself in making stupid choices. And your conscience says you deserve to be hurt. You deserve to cry. You deserve to be punished. You deserve to be miserable. Why can't I be happy as a Christian? Brethren, you're not having any guilt. You're hiding it away in your subconscious, and then you see the conscience goes to work and makes us miserable. And brethren, you can sing all the joy Jesus songs you want to, and that's not going to do a bit of good. That won't solve the problem, and that won't soothe the conscience. Now, bottled up guilt invites self-punishment. And when a man is being punished because of guilt, there is no way under the sun he will ever be happy. He can't be. Because guilt makes you dislike yourself. And it's you that's going to have to be happy. And you can't be happy if you dislike yourself. You can't be happy as long as you're around a person that's no good, that deserves misery. You can't be. You can't be with some person sitting beside you. Is that way? You can't be happy around those people. You'll avoid them. You're constantly mad at yourself and therefore punish yourself. Subconsciously, folks, this is going on. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, it's immaterial. It's going on. What did David say? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. How did he lose it? He thought he was going to be happy about getting another man's wife. A lot of folks think that's the way to be happy today. Wife swapping. You know, that's the way to be happy. Unfaithfulness. Oh, let me tell you, brethren, there's no David. It won't work. It won't work. He said, God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I got the woman, but I lost my joy. Folks, being happy is a lot more enjoyable than the short-lived pleasures of sin that produces guilt. And he said, give me back my joy. I lost it. I'm guilty. Part of the salvation joy that you and I got when we first accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior was forgiveness and the removal of all of our back guilt. I remember the day I accepted Christ, it was at Rice Stadium. I felt so light, I thought I could float out of that stadium. The burden of guilt was removed from my mind, and I felt free and light and clean on the inside. At that moment, I knew what it was to be forgiven of my guilt. And I didn't have any guilt. It was all taken from me by Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John 1:19. 1 John 1:19. Let me say real quickly, folks, as Christians, you have an option that the unsaved man doesn't have. He's going to be unhappy. I don't care what he does. But you've got an option. You've got the best remover of guilt in the world. That is called the blood of Jesus Christ. And if there is guilt in your life tonight, you know what to do with it? Don't hide it. Don't conceal it. But you come and bring that guilt to Christ and you confess your sins. And you get total cleansing of all the known past deeds in your life that are wrong. Look, if you will, at 1 John, the first chapter and the 9th verse. Here's the way to bring happiness into the lives of a lot of people. If we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And here's the beautiful part. And to cleanse us, to remove it, make us spotless, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that includes the guilt. We need to learn to come to Christ and accept full and total pardon. Now, the first forgiveness that you need is forgiveness of God. That's the first step to happiness if this is the problem that is keeping you from being happy. Now, I don't know whether it is or not, but immediately ask the Holy Spirit, are there things in your life that you're guilty of tonight that you know is wrong? And God's told you to stop them 100 times, and you just keep on doing it. Let me tell you tonight, folks, you'll not ever be happy until you come to Jesus and say, I want complete pardon. And then I was going to be reforming my life. I'm going to stop it. I'm not going to dirty up my mind. I'm not going to clutter up my life anymore with guilt in this area. I'm going to change. Now, folks, that's the first step, is to get God's forgiveness. But to do that, you've got to aim a little higher now. You've got to direct your aim to the target, like I preached on Sunday morning. You've got to be obedient from now on. You can't keep on doing it, because that restores the guilt again. But you can get total forgiveness from God. That's the first step. And then if there's involved other people, you ought to go to them and seek forgiveness. If somebody has something against me, they ought to come and tell me about it. Get forgiveness. We need the other people's forgiveness to help remove the guilt now. Where it needs be, it ought to be done. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. I think it primarily means where somebody else is involved. And then the third thing, where possible and where necessary, you ought to make restitution. If you hit somebody's fender and you know who it was and you ran away, you ought to go back and say, hey, fella, I'm sorry. I want you to know what I did. And I want to make it good, and I want to pay for it. If I don't have the money, I'll pay it out by the month, but I want to make it right. Folks, that'll restore the joy of your salvation. If it need be, restitution ought to be made, and if it can be. Now, your happiness and mine is going to be always linked with getting along with your inner judge. That is the spirit, the heart, and the conscience. You must come to respect yourself and to like to be with yourself. You must come to appreciate yourself. You must come to love yourself, the Bible says. If you can't love yourself, you can't love anybody. You must come to like yourself, put it that way. Do you like to see yourself? Do you like to walk with you? You must get to the point where you like you. Then you can be happy. You must enjoy living with yourself, and you can be happy. Again, let me say, if you don't get rid of the guilt in your life, you can't be happy. And you might as well forget it. And you'll live in depression for the remainder of your Christian life. It's a sad state to be in. We sing a song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be what? Be happy. Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Say one more, if you don't obey, you better repent and get the removal of your guilt, or you'll never be happy in Jesus Christ. Then let me close by saying this. I think Christians ought to begin to work at trying to sort out what is true guilt and what is false guilt. Now, this is not going to be an easy thing, because a lot of folks will use guilt to manipulate your life. They'll try to make you feel bad to get their way. Now, you got to be able to mature in the Lord by studying the Word, so you'll be able to know what is false guilt from true guilt, because that conscience works the same way whether the guilt is right or whether the guilt is wrong, whether it's justifiable or unjustifiable. And a lot of Christians this night are guilty about things that God says not even wrong. Not even wrong. And you need to try to get really cleared up in your mind what is wrong in the eyes of God, because a lot of people influence your guilt. Influence your guilt. So you need to be able to separate between false guilt and true guilt. And the only way I know of is to study the Word. Be as close to that Word as you can possibly be. Because a lot of times we are unhappy because of guilt when there's no reason we're not really guilty of something the Lord would say is wrong. Now, if you're not happy tonight, I think the first thing I check with is, am I guilty of some known sins in my life that I'm not dealing with? That's the first thing I'd ask myself. Is there guilt in my life? And if there is, then I think you ought to repent and say, Lord, I want you to remove all of these things that I've been doing. I think I'd tell him. In this instance, I'd tell him what I wanted forgiveness of. And would you take them away? And I would say, thank you, Lord. And I believe I was totally forgiven, and your conscience will be soothed. And it'll send the message to your mind saying, hey, fella, you are happy. At last, you are free. And I believe the burden will be lifted if that's the primary cause of your unhappiness. But if you don't, my only advice to you is, I don't have any advice, because nobody can help you. There's just no answer if you don't get rid of your guilt. Father, we're thankful tonight that there is a means whereby we can get the burden lifted. We can get the conscience to stop the punishment that brings on the depression. We know, Father, this is not the only reason that people are not happy in Christ, but this is truly one of the reasons. May we this night search our own hearts. There's no need for anybody to judge anybody else.
Holy Spirit is a wonderful judge and very fair and very accurate, and may He this night reveal to us if this is the sole problem or part of the problem of why we're not happy. And may we deal with it, realizing if we don't, that we'll just keep disliking ourselves more and more, and you can't be happy if you don't like yourself. May we understand these things that the Bible tries to point out. The way of the transgressor, it's very hard. It's very depressing. It's very unpleasant. And there's no hope outside of forgiveness from God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.